we're going to have Psalm 64, 65, 66, 67. What? I didn't get out of the 60s. I'm stuck in the 60s. Yeah. Psalm 64. We ready? To the chief musician, a psalm of David. This is another psalm of lament. The subject matter concerns those who were plotting against David. You know, if you didn't know the life of David and you just read the Psalms, you would say, this guy's paranoid, right? But really, you're not paranoid if everybody really is out to get you, okay? Like me. I'm not paranoid. He continuously suffered from the treachery of others. He writes, "Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Their arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear." David is lamenting over those who are conspiring against him. He goes to the Lord with this complaint, asking the Lord to deliver him from the fear of man. The fear of man produces a snare. Deliver me from this fear, from the fear of them. Once again, I'm reminded of the power of our words. David says their words, they sharpen their tongue like a sword. Their words are sharp. And bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Bitter words. Bitter words pierce me. They're sharp words. There's bitter words. They cut, they pierce. James, he warned us of the destructive power of the tongue. He said the tongue is like a little fire. But he said, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Only you can prevent forest fires. Man, once those words get out, once you cut somebody, you're not going to put them back together. Once you've pierced somebody, with a few words, you can destroy a person. You can just totally destroy, devastate a person with a few words. As Christians, when us guys get together, we like the jabs. You know, a few little pointed remarks, pointed like arrows, like right through the liver. You know what I mean, Ed? We like that. But sometimes, you got to watch. You got to watch, because once it starts, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hurt. It's best just to be careful not to start. And if you want to have a battle of wits with me, you'll find I'm unarmed. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They're gonna trap him. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. But the inward thought and the heart of man are deep, devious. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. Hey, look, they're plotting, they're scheming, they're trying to trap David in a snare. They're trying to trip him up. However, David is confident in the Lord, that the Lord is going to justify him. And that those that are trying to harm him, they're going to run into divine retribution. They're going to find out that whatsoever a man sows, that he also reaps. They're going to find out that they're shooting arrows at David with their tongue, but God's going to shoot arrows at them. Whew. That's not quite a fair battle, is it? They're trying to trip David up and trap him, but God is going to cause them to be the ones that stumble. David says, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Ultimately, God will vindicate his people. When people see God and see his justice, it's going to cause two things to happen. The unrighteous are going to fear. The righteous are going to rejoice. I mean, whoa, this is what I've been waiting for all my life. This is what we've been waiting for, is to see God rule and reign and judge righteously. Psalm 65. I did good, Ed. I've got to do some more psalms tonight because I was just one in 10 minutes. At this rate, giddy up. To the chief musician. Hey, who's the chief musician? No, they weren't last week. They're not this week either. He-Man's one. Asaph is one, that's correct. And Jed, Jeduthun. Yeah, all right, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, another psalm of David, a song. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Praise is awaiting the Lord. It's waiting. It's waiting. And the time for that praise, man, it just keeps getting closer and closer and closer. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Praise is waiting for the Lord to return. The whole earth is in subjection, in bondage, will be set free when he returns. A, at that time, to you, all flesh will come. Everyone will come to the Lord. They'll come and stand before him. Whew. He'll judge the nations with a rod of iron. Everyone will come. We're told that in that day, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, man. Praise is awaiting you, O God in Zion. Man, I think it's soon. I think it's soon. I'll be there. See you there. I'll be there. I was just talking with Robert about how I know I'll be there. And I'll be there because Jesus died for me. And that's the only reason. It isn't anything I did. It's what he did. Because he loved me. And he gave himself for me. And I believe in him. And he's my Lord. And I belong to him. Oh, I can't wait. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, our sins, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Atonement, that's a process of reconciliation. Two parties at odds need to be brought back together. Atonement, it's the process by which we are reconciled to God, made at one-ment with God. God provided a means for atonement. He gave the law to Moses. He told Moses that when a man sinned, that he needed to bring a sin offering, a trespass offering, and an animal was sacrificed. The person was to get up close with that animal, place his hands on that animal's head, confess their sins. And the animal was killed in the place of that person. It was a picture of what God would do. Because he sent his son, he provided atonement for our transgressions, for our sins, by sending his son to die for us. He provided atonement for our sins. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. Oh, how happy is the person who you choose. And that's you. That's me. I'm going to be there because he chose me. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Peter writes, you are a chosen generation. You're the people that God chose. Hey, he didn't choose very many mighty, many noble. He chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wisdom of the wise. We didn't do anything. He chose some foolish things, and he chose us to be his people. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. The Lord has spoken to us with awesome deeds in righteousness. He came in righteousness himself. Jesus, the God of our salvation. Well, we don't take any confidence in ourselves as to why we should be able to go to heaven, why we should ascend up into heaven. It isn't because of anything we've done, but our confidence is in him, in what he did. He is the confidence of all the ends of the earth. He's the one that established the mountains and the sea. He created all things. All things were created by him and for him. He established them. He's the one who stills the noise of the seas. Remember the guys on the Sea of Galilee? The boat rocking, the wind blowing, Jesus asleep. Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? He stands up and with those words, peace, be still. The storm stops, the sea's calmed. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You're a little terrifying. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness. And your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Here David, he praises God for his provision, for his supply, for the early and the late rains in Israel. He waters the earth. He causes the rain to fall. He causes the grass to grow and the pastures to become green to feed the flocks. He makes the grain grow on the stalk. And the people, they shout for joy. They sing. God promised to give Israel abundance. He promised, hey, if you follow me, I'm going to give you that early rain. I'm going to give you that latter rain. Oh, your fields, your crops will flourish. Your flocks, oh, they're going to be awesome. Just follow me. And when they did, they had an abundance. And when they didn't, they had problems. You know, I'm not big on replacement theology. I don't believe in it. I don't believe the church has replaced Israel, the promises. But at the same time, we're told that we're grafted in, that we've become partakers in the promises of God. And our nation, I look at it, oh man, we were the breadbasket of the world. We were the industrial leader in the world. We were the economic powerhouse in the world. We were followers of God. Interesting, isn't it? I just think the things that we're seeing is because we've rejected the Lord. Hey, on July 5th, that's the day after, which is called Independence Day. On July 5th, it's a Sunday, and we're going to have Dependence Day with thousands of other churches in the U.S. on that day. We're going to pray specifically for our country. So mark your calendar. Be here if you can. Sunday night, we'll be praying as we do every Sunday night, huh, Miss Linda? But specifically, I really want to focus on our country and where we're at. So mark that down if you would. God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will heal their land. I will hear from heaven and heal their land. We need the Lord to heal our land, right? So mark it down. We need to make war on the floor. Get on our knees before the Lord. All right, Psalm 66. You ready yet? To the chief musician, which is? He-Man. Jeduthun. Asaph. Okay, you all have got it. Hey, that book on, let me give a commercial before I start. Thursday night, guys, Joseph, a man of integrity. I read the first page in it, the introduction, and they hooked me. And they said, you're going to learn some facts about the Bible, people's names. And that's what reminded me, these guys' names, right? Asaph, He-Man, Jeduthun. You're going to learn some facts about the Bible, but you need to apply it in your life. I went, oh yeah, you got me. Listen, learn, apply. That's good stuff. So Thursday night, get your book from Ben. And do we have a reading assignment for tomorrow? First lesson. All right. I got to the first page, okay, and I really liked it. So Psalm 66, no author is given here. Many believe it's written by David. I don't know. I could go with that. Another song, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Selah. Stop and think about this. Meditate upon this. Does anyone have a King James? King James? What does verse 1 say? Okay, it isn't noise? Okay. Hey, we'll shout, make a joyful noise. He was New King Jimmy in it? Old Jimmy. Yes. The King James. The old Jimmy says noise. Yes. Do you have a King Jimmy? But you know that it says, but we all know it says, make a joyful noise, those of us who don't sing real well. And we use that as our excuse, right? It says, make a joyful noise. I can do that. I can shout. Sing out the honor of his name. Oh, man. Just have joy. Just have joy. Be joyful. A joyless Christian. Yeah. I'm not sure I want to spend eternity with you. What kind of pastor are you? I don't know. I'm a work in progress, but joyful about it because Jesus saved me. We should be the most joyous people around. I mean, look, I was going to hell, okay? Fire, brimstone, wrath of God stuff, yeah, eternity, separation, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. And now I'm not. You know? Yeah. I'm not happy with that. Make his praise glorious, man. He saved us. He saved us. That is awesome. Look at the great things he's doing. Ah. I heard that Gilda's sister-in-law, Sherry, that the cancer that is killing her is in remission. Yeah, I heard her dad, who has to have his arm amputated, doesn't have to anymore because the cancer is in remission. How does that happen? That's something to be ticked off about. I don't want to see that kind of stuff. It's awesome. How awesome are your works? All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. That day is coming. It's coming. The day is coming when a great multitude, which no one can number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues will stand before the throne and before the Lamb. And they'll be clothed, we'll be clothed with white robes and palm branches in our hands. We'll be crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It's coming. It's coming soon. And you know what? I'm not waiting until that day to start. Then I'm going to be joyful. I want to be joyful today. I'm practicing for heaven. I'm going to be in the choir. Okay. With a robe, Nate, with a robe. And with rhythm. Man. I can't wait. This is going to be a trip, huh? Look at that doofus up there. Nobody else has got a rope. What's he doing? I've waited for this for a long time. Man, that popcorn smells good. It's the smell of heaven. Heaven smells like popcorn, I'm sure. The command is to shout joyfully to God, to sing to him, to praise him. For who he is, for what he's done, for what he will do, what he's going to do, to shout, to praise him. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome. in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Come and see the works of God. Come and see. Come and see. Hey, come here. Come here. Come here. I want to show you something. Come and see. Jesus was walking along the Galilee. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two disciples started following him. He turned around and he said, "What do you seek?" They didn't know what to say. They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said, "Come and see." It changed their lives. The next day, Jesus found Philip, we're told. And Philip went to his brother Nathanael and said to him, "Hey, we found him. The one that Moses had spoke about. And the prophets. Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip told him, "Come and see." And he went and met with Jesus. He never went back. His life was forever changed. Once you come and you see, once you taste and see that the Lord is good, man, where else would we go? He has the words of eternal life. Come and see. Come and see the works of God. We come to him and we meet with him. And before you know it, we start seeing him doing things. We go, "Yeah, I believed in you when I heard about you. But now I believe because I've heard you with my own ears. I've seen you with my own eyes. I've seen the things that you've done in my life and the lives of others." It's a great invitation. Come and see. Tell your friends. Tell the people you meet. "Why should I go?" "Well, come and see." "Well, I don't like all that religious stuff." "Yeah, no, neither do I. Come and see." How many people have never seen the marvelous works of God because they weren't willing to come? We got to come to the Lord, right? That's the first step. Come to him and then you'll see. It'll blow your mind. And if you're here and you've never come, you need to. He loves you, he died for you. And he says, "Come and see. Come and see who I am." David writes of the things that he had done, how he had turned the sea into dry land, or whoever the psalmist is, how they went through. He says his eyes observe the nations. He watches over. He sees all. He knows all. The psalmist says, "Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You've caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Hey, when we go through trials, the end of the trial is this. It's rich fulfillment. The trial, it isn't to destroy us. The nation Israel has had more adversity than any other people group in the world. They've been removed from their homeland and brought back and removed again and brought back and hated and persecuted. And but God had brought them through it, and he'll take them through it once again here to refine them. God allows adversity into our lives to refine us. Peter, you know Peter? Fisherman. Guy who was in the Word. A guy that was in prayer. A guy who was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm missing one here. Well, he did that, but that wasn't what made him transformed. A guy who obeyed. Thank you. You went to your notes. Good for you. I needed to go to mine. Peter wrote this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Well, you need to be grieved. Why? So that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord allows adversity in our life to test our faith. It's to purify us. The process is compared to refining precious metals, gold and silver. The metals are placed in a crucible and heated up to remove the impurities. As they're heated up, the impurities rise to the surface. You ever notice that? You ever see the impurities rise when things start heating up with you? It's just like right there. What is this? It's refining. You're in the fire. The impurities, the dross comes to the top, and the refiner would go and he would scrape that off. And he'd look, oh, there's some more coming up. Keep it in the fire. Let the impurities come. And he'd scrape it off until he could look and see his reflection in the pool. And that's what the Lord is doing. He allows the trials, the fiery trials, to bring the impurities to the top so that he can remove them. So that he can look down and so that he can be reflected from us. After we go through the trial, there's rich fulfillment. Well, when the metal is purified, once it's purified, it becomes more valuable, more precious to the refiner. Same with us. The junk needs to come out We need to be refined and purified. The psalmist says, I will go into your house with burnt offerings, verse 13. I will pay you my vows which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Selah. The psalmist had made vows during the times of adversity. And he tells the Lord, man, I'm going to pay him. The sacrifices that I promised you, the burnt offerings, I'm going to make. Fat animals. The best. The most expensive. The greatest sacrifice. That's what I'm going to give to you, Lord. After what you've given to me, what can I possibly give to you? The sweet aroma of rams. Fat grilling on the grill, huh? Don't you love that? You know, one of the cool things about riding the bike is that you get to smell stuff. And no, it's not always good. Stay away from certain places that have pump stations. It's not good. But other times, it's like, yummy, where is that place? I want to go and eat. The honeysuckles are not good. Or jasmine. Jasmine is the worst, and I have one at my house. I'll get off and I'll go, ah! Isn't that a beautiful smell? The sweet aroma of rams, I will offer bulls with goats. Come in here, he said, come and see, come in here. All you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Amen. Come in here. You ought to have a testimony of what God has done in your life. That you went and saw. You tasted and saw that the Lord was good. You saw the marvelous works of God, and now you have a testimony to tell someone else. Come in here. Listen, this is what God has done. Dot, 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 dot. This is what I was. This is how I met Christ. Yeah, this is what I am. He ain't done with me yet. Better than what I was. Just haven't got home yet. Come in here. Hey, if y'all should be able to share your testimony of Christ. If you want to try that out, well, we're having a baptism and we give you opportunity right there in the pool. This is how I came to Christ, and you get to share with everybody. I love that part of it. I think that's my favorite part. That and the smell of goats and rams. And it's great. Verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If you have sinned, the Lord will not hear. If that was true, no one could get saved. What's it saying? If I regard, if I treasure, if I cherish sin, if I have sin in my life and I know it and I'm unwilling to let go of it. You ever been there? A little bit of sin that you're quite aware of. The Lord told you, no, 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 no. You said, well, it's just a little. I didn't kill anybody. It's just a little thing. I'm going to hold on to this. Because I got Jesus, and he's gracious. That is regarding iniquity. That's treasuring it, cherishing it, holding on to it, refusing to let it go. If you do that, your prayers are going to be ineffective. But, certainly God has heard me, a sinner. He's heard my prayers. Oh, why? Because Lord, it's just a little thing and I really want to keep it, but go back. Oh, I'm the only one that does that? You've never done that.
The Lord doesn't hear your prayers, brother.
Sharpen up that tongue. But certainly God has heard me. Why? Because I know there's sin, and I say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Please forgive me. Take this out of my life. I'm drawn to it. I'm attracted to it. But I don't want to treasure it. I want to treasure you. You're more precious to me than that. And he hears and he attends to our prayers. And he doesn't turn away. He doesn't keep his mercy from us. Man, sinners need to know that the Lord hears. Us as sinners, if we don't know that the Lord hears, we're without hope. We need to know that he hears. And when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. 67. Oh, man. To the chief musician, once again, on stringed instruments, guitars, bass, cello, violin, piano, harps, somebody's sitar, banjo. Okay, y'all got it. All acceptable. Bring them on in. We'll play this one. God be merciful. Oh, this is a great psalm. Oh, this is awesome. This psalm is a psalm of praise, but it's also a messianic psalm because it's prophetic. It speaks of Christ, and it speaks of him in his millennial reign. That's what I think anyway. I'll show you why. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Have you ever heard that before? That's the prayer. That's the blessing that the priest was to give to the people out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The psalmist writes, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be made known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you, Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. The day's coming that the Lord will judge the people righteously. He'll rule and reign. Look at verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. In Genesis chapter 12, God had promised Abraham, saying, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because Messiah came from the seed of Abraham, Jesus. Verse 2 speaks of the fulfillment of that promise, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Jesus said, I am the way, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Your salvation, Yeshua. That your way may be known on earth, Yeshua, among all nations. The Lord is going to be known on earth. All nations. He'll rule and reign. He'll judge them righteously. He'll govern the nations. And Selah, you'll be with him. You'll be ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Right here. On this earth. Jump over to Isaiah chapter 2. Just real quick. Keep your finger there in Psalms. We'll be coming back. Isaiah chapter 2. Pardon me? I muttered. Isaiah 2, chapter 2. If you made it to 22, it's going to be easy to get to 2. That's to your left. Stay tuned for coming attractions. Verse 2, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It's on the United Nations building, that last part of verse 4. Look, there's not going to be any peace until the Prince of Peace comes. And he'll establish it. And he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. and we'll be with him. Go back to Psalm 67. That's coming. It's soon. Verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. You know, this world is going to produce like it's never produced before when the Lord reigns. The righteous judge. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, for the Psalms. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that you've given us tonight. That when you talk of your coming, of you ruling and reigning, Lord, I can hardly wait. I so look forward to that day. Lord, we pray, God, that you would keep us following you, being obedient to you, not clinging to sin, but forsaking it and clinging to you instead, Lord. We pray, Lord, thanking you. Thanking you, Jesus, for dying for us on the cross, for dying for our sins, for washing us, for giving us that atonement, for giving us a relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that you have not withheld mercy from us, but you have given us great grace. We pray, Lord, that you'd go with us tonight, that you would be exalted, that we would shout of your praises until you return. And we do pray, come quickly, Jesus. Amen.